Our scripture is found in Psalm 78, verses 15 and 16. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like river. Are you enjoying the autumn weather so far? It's a nice little reprieve, isn't it, from the heat that we had? We can look around in this time of year and see the beauty of autumn, and we can thank the Lord for it. David had a lot to thank the Lord for. Our scripture this morning is taken from the very noteworthy Psalm 78. In this chapter, David recounts a brief history, a brief summary of some of God's favored people. I think you would agree that this is something we should do on a periodic basis. David was a very sensitive observer of God's magnificent power, and he loved to recount God's faithfulness in providing for the necessities of their lives for those children there in the desert. For him, the miracles of the Exodus were not an isolated or a solitary event. David knew about this ever-present power of God and his command of nature. Even a brief look at his writings reveals that he loved to praise the providence of God. He knew that God had graciously and generously provided for his children, the children of Israel, there in the desert. And this whole chapter, 78, is a summary of that. This providence made a very deep impression upon him, and he delighted to dwell upon the providence of God and the wonders of it. We should do so as well. As scriptures convey to us over and over again, the love that God has for his people. How he loves to provide every one of our needs. Notice in verse 4 of the same chapter that David reports on God's faithfulness in the wonderful works that he had done for his children. In verse 7, they were to set their hope on God and not to forget the works of God, but rather to keep his commandments. Yet in verse 37, we read that their heart was not right with him, neither were they steadfast in his covenant. Verse 40 states, in fact, that they did often provoke him in the wilderness and grieve him in the desert. Yet in the end, verse 72, we see that God continued to provide for them according to the integrity of his own heart. Now back to our text of focus for the morning. So in verse 15, we read that God gave his people drink out of the great depths. Now this seems to indicate that David knew exactly where God kept his reservoirs of water. Is it likely that David knew something about thirst or his need for water? I'm certain that he did, given what he had endured. You know, the words depth and depths are used rather prominently in the Bible. Have you noticed? Quite often they refer to the volume of water that God has created and now has in storage. God asked Job the question in Job 38:16, "Hast thou entered into the springs of the sea, or hast thou walked in search of the depth?" David reports in Psalm 33:7 that God gathereth the waters of the sea together as a heap. He layeth up the depth in storehouses. In Deuteronomy 8:7, Moses relates that the Lord bringeth thee into a land of brooks of water, of fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and the hills. So it seems that Bible writers were blessed with the understanding that God was the creator, the manager, and the dispenser of water from the depths of the earth. We can say it again. God loves his people. The Bible tells us over and over again, he loves his people and it pleases him greatly to provide for their necessities. Let's consider this morning some of the implications of this text that we have read. It seems that many of God's ways, through his providences, are revealed to us through the world of nature. Have you noticed? You know, there's not a beast, a bird, or a bug. There's not a tree nor a flower, but is ministered to by the loving hand of our Creator. The sustainer of all things is constantly aware of those specific needs of even the smallest of His creation. There is no living thing in nature but what is provided by God out of the depths of His love. I think you would agree it's a beautiful time in the world of nature. This past week we've been working out in the woods, shall we say. We've been seeing these beautiful mushrooms. Anybody else see those? There's some fantastic shapes and colors out there. God made those for our enjoyment. We found a little patch of huckleberries, and we're so excited. And can hardly wait to check back next spring to see if there's some berries on them. Then we found this most interesting weed. And no, it's not marijuana. This is a weed that Ruth Ann helped us identify as the lesser burdock. Has anybody ever heard of the lesser burdock? It's a nasty weed. But at some point, it's beautiful. There's these big leaves, kind of heart-shaped, and they kind of look like a gourd in a way. And then from that, there comes a stalk that looks like a thistle gone wild. And they grow up to 9 feet. I think the biggest one we had was about 8 feet. Had a stalk on it this big around that was solid. Steve, I had to fall it with a chainsaw. Yes. There's some amazing things in nature, is there not? Now let's address the depth of God's love for mankind. Isaiah 51 proclaims, "Ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters." I think "ho" must be used as "hey," but I'm not sure. I've never heard that word before. Then in verse 6 of the same chapter, God reminds us, "Seek the Lord while he may be found." In Acts 17:25, Luke informs us that God giveth to all life and breath and all things. Paul informs us in 1 Corinthians 10:4 that all drink the waters of life from the rock of ages. In Romans 11:33, he exclaims, "Oh, the depths of riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his ways, his judgments, and his ways are past finding out." I think you recognize that a major source of God's provision for us comes through his gift to us of the Bible. I hope you are using the Bible as the gift that it was intended. It is a striking thought that though the Bible is an ancient book, yet it is as modern and practical as if it were written in our day. It touches upon modern life in every detail. One cannot think of a single moral principle but what the Bible has God's answer for it. Almost 2,000 years ago, Paul wrote in 2 Timothy 3, verse 15 to 17, that from a child you have known the Scriptures, the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith which is in Jesus Christ. All Scripture is given by inspiration of God. It is profitable for doctrine, for reproof, for correction and instruction in righteousness, that the man of God may be perfect, thoroughly furnished unto all good works. Just think, these texts were written as one of the very last messages to be included in the Holy Word of God nearly 2 millennia ago. Yet, they're still relevant for our culture today. Think of the depths of the Bible. One simple verse provides that which a child can easily understand, yet the greatest scholars will be unable to exhaust its spiritual depth. What a gift we have been given in the Word of God. Let the record show that we value very highly here in the Word of God in the Sutherland Seventh-day Adventist Church. We love it, and we love to study it and to read it. And may we ask God every single day for for the help we need to continually follow in his way. Of course, the extreme and supreme example of the depths of God's providence for mankind comes from the gift of his own Son, Jesus Christ. As we sang a little earlier, our Savior is the fount of every blessing that we receive coming from God to humanity. Paul explains in 1 Corinthians 1:30 that we are in Christ Jesus, who of God has made unto us wisdom and righteousness and sanctification and redemption. What a package from heaven to earth. Just think of the depths of his love for a fallen community. Jesus Christ took that cup that rightfully belonged to you and me, and he took a very long drink from it. Paul explains in Galatians 2:20 that when I am crucified with Christ, I now live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Doesn't get any better than that. Here's an important mission story from the Gospel of John. Jesus had traveled from Galilee to Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles, and he traveled in secret. His disciples had gone ahead of him, and Jesus arrived at the temple about midway through the festival. The great discussion at the festival was between Jewish people and their leaders as to who Jesus really was, where he came from, and where his doctrine had come from. Some were already attempting to kill him. You can pick up the story in John 7. As you read the dialogue that takes place, you can really sense the frustration of Jesus as he attempts to explain his mission to the Jews. Finally, in an attempt to make clear the importance of his ministry, we read this statement in John 7, 37 and 38. In the last day, that great day of the feast, Jesus stood and cried, saying, "If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. He that believeth on me, as the scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water." Now, you might think that this illustrative statement would clear the discussion about Jesus, where he came from, and what his works were. After all, this was a Middle Eastern culture that was very dependent upon the availability of water. It did not do so. In fact, verse 43 says, there was a division among the people because of him. I must wonder if it's possible today that the same discussions and the same conclusions are still occurring. Who is this Jesus? Where does he come from? What about his teachings? Something to think about. Now, as to the value of water. You know, any way we look at it, we are more dependent on water today than we ever have been. Do you realize that? I'm not sure that we have a real understanding of our need for water because it has been so abundantly supplied to us. We may not have a full appreciation for this very basic necessity, yet water is a requirement for life. It's almost as important as air and is just a smidgen more important than food. Think of the different things that we use water for on an everyday basis, not the least of which is to sustain our health. Now, if we faithfully fulfill our monthly monetary obligation, water is generally available to us by simply turning on the faucet. In doing so, there's virtually an unlimited supply of water at our fingertips. What a blessing that is. I wonder if the ease of availability has influenced our perspective on our need for life's most precious commodity, the water of life. We know that this water is a requirement for life eternal. A few months ago, our Sutherland Church raised enough money to fund a water well in Africa. I know that many of you contributed to that effort, and thank you for it. We're attempting to find out more information about that well, where it's located, and perhaps some pictures of the village that it's located in, the well itself, and so forth. Earlier this week, I learned of the blessing of water for a particular settlement in an area of eastern Kenya. Perhaps this village is much like the one that we have had as a church family the privilege to help. These people are known as the Chumvieri people. For those of you who are acquainted with the geography of Kenya, these people are found in the area near Meru and Isiolo, a very desolate region where there is very little water. What is available is a long distance away. It was about 3 years ago that Maranatha Volunteer International entered this area and began to drill wells. This was a tremendous blessing for the people of the Chumvieri. They received first a well, and then a church and a school. Today, the church has 40 members with an average attendance of about 50 people attending each week. I believe in the account that I heard that the individual said that they have a pastor for this church who has 55 other churches to look after. The school has 80 children. Now, after the passing of 3 years, a group of church leaders recently went out to the Chumvieri to check on the status of the entire development there. And as they were gathering there in the church structure, one tribal woman stood up and began to tell the visitors and those in the audience about the blessing from God that had been gifted to their village. One of the visiting leaders quickly began to film her presentation as the pastor was translating. I want to share with you this morning that message this tribal woman presented to these leaders. Watch attentively for the next 3 minutes and see if it will help us to understand the incredible value that water is to an African village. You will notice how in the background it is very dry in the surrounding area. We were told that it's so dry in this area that you can drop a piece of bread on the ground and there are not even any bugs that will come and eat it. It's that dry.
Before this project of water and the church came here, you have seen that before that they were not well, but for now, as you see, the children have washed their uniform and they are very happy, and they are studying in good condition because we have water. Even the mothers, they have taken shower because they have water. Even the caterers here around, they don't go very far to get the water because we have now water here. They can drink what we have here. We thank you very, very much. And she's saying that God will bless you with more resources, many things, so that when you come here, you will bless us again when you find many things to bless us. She was sometimes getting some difficulties going to fetch water and looking for other things which were very far away. God has blessed her and the other women because for now, even if she got to get firewood to get the charcoal, she can even find children are coming with the cups and so on and fetch water and take to the manyata because she can find now water. It's not much for her to get. We want to thank you and tell God to give you many effort and many power and many resources so that you can continue helping people and doing things, good things and blessing other people. She's saying we are very, very thankful. Water is the only thing which can take you anywhere. Even if you don't have anything, you can just drink water and go anywhere you want and do whatever you want because you have water. And that's why they are very, very thankful. She's saying the last statement that she is saying, even the animals, even the birds in the air, even these small insects that we have seen here, they are very happy because they can get somewhere to get water. So everything is happy.
I think the message is clear. Jesus knows the value of water for his children. I hope that you understand the parallel of what Jesus wants to do in the lives of men and women, boys and girls, today. I think the tribal woman from Kenya gets it. Just add water. In her words, it makes everything happy. Surely God has given us the blessing of refreshing water out of the depths of his divine love for humanity. Remember the invitation of Jesus Christ. If any man thirst, let him come unto me and drink. Amen. Father, we do thank you that you love us and that you provide so bountifully for us. We thank you for the privilege of helping others. Might we follow the example of Jesus as we do so day by day. We thank you, Father, for we ask this in his name. Amen.